Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Boom. Thanks for the time, as always.
It's my pleasure, guys. How are you?
Boomer, we are outstanding. No long faces in town today, so we get a chance to see everybody else's problems. You know, on your way out the door, I think last week, you expressed a little bit of, misgiving over Sam Darnold still not being back in the lineup for the Jets. So I'm curious about how you thought he played yesterday in sparking the Jets to win. But I also am probably more intrigued by what your thoughts are on the Cowboys' collapse of late.
You know what? I'm actually happy that Sam's back under the fold. And I was not miffed that he wasn't playing last week. You know, that was Phil Simms who was miffed that he was playing yesterday, actually. And I know sometimes we get confused. But I will tell you that I was happy that he played yesterday, and he showed why the Jets picked him number three overall. I've been a big supporter of his ever since he arrived here in town. And unfortunately, Adam Gase the last 3 weeks has just been getting hammered. But he's been playing with a flag football quarterback behind center, who they cut, by the way, before the game. So
right.
I was happy to see what Sam did yesterday. I was happy to see that he was accurate, that he was mobile in the pocket, and did all the things that you want your young quarterback to do. And most importantly, he inspired that team to a win yesterday. Now, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, who are they? I think they're a middle-of-the-pack team. And I think anytime they lose games like this, it really goes to the pocketbook of one Dak Prescott. I like Dak. I think I've told you this, that I think he could be the leader of a team, but he's not a guy that I'm going to be paying $35 million to, especially with the way his team was all beat up yesterday. They were missing two of their offensive linemen, their two starting offensive tackles. Amari Cooper went down in the middle of the game. So what does that tell me? That tells me that the quarterback has got to rise to the occasion. He's got to somehow inspire the team to win. You know, Brady, Breeze, and all the great ones of yesteryear have done that for years and years and years. And it's so important in this generation for these young quarterbacks to take that type of role for their team. And Dak was unable to get it done yesterday. And I think it speaks volumes to who they are. I don't think they're a great team. I think they're an average team. And even when they're healthy, you know, they can beat up on the bad teams, but they're going to lose to quality teams and competitive teams, which is exactly what the Jets are when they have Sam Darnold playing quarterback for them.
Do you think NFL teams have it in them to go with the devil they don't know instead of the devil they do at quarterback? Because, like, the Rams paid Jared Goff, and that looks like bad money. The Vikings paid Kirk Cousins, looks like bad money. If the Cowboys paid Dak Prescott, my guess is it's not going to be too long until that looks like bad money. But I just don't see teams that are willing to cut bait with the quarterback that they know is at least capable of starting.
Well, I think the big question is what's the alternative and where can you go? As far as Kirk Cousins is concerned, he's played back-to-back two really good games. But as you guys know, if he can't win on the road in the NFC North, then, you know, is he going to be good enough to win a playoff game on the road if, in fact, they have to go do that in the NFC playoffs? So that's the big question for me. There are certain guys that can do it and certain guys that can't. Obviously, Deshaun Watson has shown that he can do it. Patrick Mahomes has shown that he can do it. I'm not so sure that Baker Mayfield can do it now. I think we all thought that he could, but watching the way he's playing under Freddie Kitchens right now, it's like eye-opening. It makes you really wonder whether or not he's going to be a long-term answer for the Cleveland Browns. You can't throw interceptions. You can't be erratic like Jameis Winston was in London. The fact that Kyle Allen has not thrown an interception, he's won five straight games for the Panthers, and right across the field, there's Jameis Winston with Bruce Arians throwing the ball five different times to the Carolina Panthers. That's ridiculous. It's reckless, and it's not a guy that I would invest in. So there are a bunch of guys right now that are on the cusp of either getting paid or getting booted out of town. And I would say that Jameis and Marcus Mariota are two of those guys. And I can only hope that Mitch Trubisky is not one of those guys, that he figures it out and somehow starts to play the game from the position the way it's supposed to be played.
When we get Ron Rivera on the phone, either later this afternoon or tomorrow, hopefully, we'll ask him this question, but I'll ask you, if you were in his position, how would you handle the quarterback situation once your former league MVP is healthy and ready to go?
Yeah, okay, well, he can't give you an honest answer. he can't. He's going to have to massage the answer. You know, Cam has been a big personality down there. He's done a lot of great things on the field, and he's done a lot of great things off the field. So I don't necessarily know that Ron could be honest with you about things. I can be. I would not give him his job back. I mean, Kyle Allen has played fantastic football and has not turned the football over. He has played about as clean a game as you could possibly play in replace of an MVP. You know, I was one of those players that in my career as well. And, you know, I always had the insecure feeling within me that if I didn't go back and get back as soon as I possibly could, somebody would take my job. And I think that's the case in Carolina right now. That team is playing for that quarterback. And I think that they would be smart if I were Carolina, and if I could put Cam Newton on IR, I probably would, because then that would defer the question to next year. Right now, Kyle Allen deserves to stay on the field because the team is winning, not in spite of him, but because of him.
So that's you because of him, because they're not throwing interceptions? Because, I mean, he doesn't have a 300-yard game. The numbers
don't
jump out.
Doesn't matter. You know, what I want is a solid guy who's going to go through his progressions. He's been there for a year, so he knows North Turner's system. It's not like he's a rookie. He's not Gardner Minshew. He's not one of these guys that hasn't been around. And, you know, the thing about it is, an undrafted free agent who may just have what it takes to lead a team to the NFL playoffs. So I would tell you that I would keep him in there. I really would. I'm not about splash plays. I'm about consistency. I'm about a team responding to their quarterback, and I'm about seeing a guy rewarded for what he's doing. And to me, he's doing everything that he possibly can to keep that job.
You know what? I love what they did yesterday, Boomer. My favorite numbers of the day were Christian McCaffrey's 22 rushes for 31 yards to make the defense respect it, shorten the damn game, and help your young quarterback grow.
Yeah, I think Ron Rivera, he's a defensive guy, as we all know. He came from the Chicago Bears background, the great Walter Payton, the great defense. Let's play smart football on offense. Let's not turn the ball over. We can win, and we can support our young quarterback by doing those things. And I'm sure that North Turner is schooling up, Kyle Allen to play the way that he's playing. So, you know, the fact that they're winning the way they are, and I keep saying it on the NFL Today, is going to put an enormous amount of pressure on the front office and on Ron Rivera himself to ultimately make that decision if, in fact, this metatarsal bone heals for Cam Newton to come back this year. He's not. If he does come back, I can't imagine him coming back, for at least another month. So we'll have at least four more games to look at for Kyle Allen. If he stays undefeated and he gets the team to the playoffs, there's no way in the world that Cam Newton's going to get back on that field.
Boomer Esiason with us, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. You got an up-close and personal look at Tom Brady when they played the Giants. I know that if we were doing power rankings, they're the one seed. But they haven't beaten anybody impressive. And when I've seen Brady this year, it feels like he's making a lot of business decisions out there. You know, he really doesn't want to get hit, throwing screen passes into the ground, bailing on plays. The offensive line is bad. What version of Tom Brady do you think we're seeing right now?
Well, who's he playing with? He's got James White, he's got Julian Edelman, and he's got Sony Michel. And after that, it's a collection of, like, half of these guys wouldn't even make teams on wouldn't make rosters on teams around the league. So I think that he's playing smart. I think that this is the best defense that they have ever had while he has been there. I think he's smart enough to know that he can play to that. He's still as accurate as all get out. There's no question about that. He still gets rid of the ball quickly. You know, we talk about offensive line problems, and I'm not sure if Kyle Long is on the IR yet or not.
Yes, he is.
Yes, okay. So what did I tell you last week? He's hurt, right?
Yep.
So, we kind of figured that was going to happen. But Brady's out there with two-fifths of his starting offensive line guys, and he's trying to just get rid of the ball quickly. They're still running the ball. They're still doing the things that we all know what is important in football, and that is to control the line of scrimmage, at least by running and play action, and that's something that they've been they've been schooling everybody in. Now, what's going to be interesting is next Monday night, they play at the Meadowlands against the Jets. The Jets' defense has played well this whole entire year. You would not know that because of some of the scores, but the quarterback situation has been the absolute worst in the NFL for the last 3 weeks until yesterday. So I think the Jets are going to play them tough. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets beat them. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, most likely, probably in the mid-20s. But I think Brady is doing everything that he needs to do in order for that team to win to get to the playoffs. And then maybe they make a trade for a wide receiver. I think that's probably a serious consideration for them because they certainly need somebody that can take the top off the defense because they don't have anybody right now.
Which team is the best team in the NFC, Boomer?
San Francisco. Well, I say San Francisco simply because, you know, their front four is just awesome. They are just attacking opposing quarterbacks as Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff have found out the last 2 weeks. I would also say New Orleans. New Orleans has won with Teddy Bridgewater, and everybody's going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater's 74% completion and all that other stuff. You know, he's playing good, don't get me wrong. And Michael Thomas is getting numbers, but they're winning low-scoring games because that defense is the real deal. So, and Teddy's not really turning it over. I think he only has two interceptions. But when Drew Brees comes back, you know, that's going to be a bitch of a team to play in the playoffs. So I would say right now neck and neck has got to be those two teams, San Francisco and New Orleans. I would think that, you know, between the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers are probably somewhere in that mix, depending on how the quarterbacks play and depending on whether or not Mitch comes back and plays better than he has already this year. But, you know, at this point, it's a very defensive-laden conference, which I think is terrific. It's something that we haven't really talked about the last few years.
What do you think it is that these defensive coordinators seem to have figured out over the last season and a half or so where it seemed like for a while that every offensive record was just going to be shattered?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you know, San Francisco, for in their situation, they have drafted, you know, in the first round defensive linemen. They realize, and as most people do in the NFL, it is about pressuring the opposing quarterback. Some offenses have changed a little bit because of the dynamic nature of the quarterbacks that they have running their offenses. I think we're moving away from some of the traditional stuff that we have seen over the years. But it's hard to really put a finger on it. I just think a lot of really great athletes are on defense. And when you watch New Orleans, San Francisco, Minnesota when they're at home, the Bears with Khalil Mack, and you look at all three different levels of what the Bears have on defense, it's a bitch to play against these guys. So I think it's speed, it's athleticism, and it's certainly putting pressure on the other team's quarterback.
My partner took a beating yesterday. Packers or Lions tonight? Help him get healthy.
Oh, please.
Well, I'm taking the Packers. I think the Packers, with a newfound running game, a little bit more of an emphasis on it with Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan coming from the same kind of running background, and with their improved defense, I would like to think that they're going to be really tough to beat in Lambeau. You know, the interesting thing about the NFC North is that all these teams should beat up on each other in their home buildings. And we've seen the Bears, you know, basically cough one up to the Packers, which is probably going to come back to haunt them. But the Packers, if they want to stay true to what they're doing, you know, they lost to Philadelphia in Lambeau. They cannot lose to Matt Patricia and Matthew Stafford tonight against the Lions. So I would take the Packers by four tonight.
I like that. That's the spread, so that'll push.
Oh, no, forget that then. I will take the Packers to cover.
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. I'll assume you'll reimburse me when it loses. So, big picture NFL thing. I feel like this referee situation is getting out of hand, and it's not just the pass interference reviews. What happened in the Chiefs-Texans game where the ref seemed to have someone in his ear overturning a call? Really, really bothered me. It felt unethical. It felt like it lacked transparency. Al Riveron is not doing a very good job explaining what's happening. How big of a problem do you think we're looking at here with officiating?
Oh, man, if you would have seen the end of the Cowboy and Jet game and you were a Cowboy or a Jet fan, you'd be really irked.
Yep.
There were so many flags at the end of the game that it's actually ruining the game. And you know who I blame on this? It's not really the officials that I blame. I blame the competition committee. The competition committee is comprised of general managers and coaches. They're the ones who tell the officials how they want the game officiated. Now, I work with Gene Steratore at CBS, and Gene has told me, and I'm not saying anything out of school because I think he's publicly said this. They think that a lot of the officials, you know, probably never played the game of football before and don't understand what certain moves are, certain blocks are. And you know, maybe referees from his generation would look at the game a little bit differently and would understand what a real crackback block is and a real chop block is. And may have looked the other way in certain instances, but this is getting ridiculous. The amount of flags is just ruining the game. I mean, for me as a fan watching games, the last thing I want to do, and I'm doing it now, it seems like habitually, is on third down, I see a ball hit the ground. The first thing I'm looking for is that little yellow box in the lower third of the TV screen, wondering if somebody just threw a flag because of, like, defensive holding or interference, and then are we going to get to the replay? So there is no question in my mind that the game has been ruined by all this replay and all this conversation about refereeing and everything else, and it's making it for a bad game.
Do you have a solution?
I wish I did. If I did, I'd be making a hell of a lot more money than I am now, I can tell you that. I would think this whole pass interference thing has got to go by the wayside. This is the dumbest thing ever, and it's slowing the game down, and it's, you know, it may be clear and obvious to you, the viewer, clear and obvious to me, the analyst, but it's not clear and obvious to the people on Park Avenue, which is really all that matters. So it's creating a very frustrating viewing experience for all of us who are football fans. So I would hope that we'll get rid of that next year, and we'll go back to things that we can really see, and that is helmet-to-helmet contact, which determines whether or not a guy has been hit illegally. So I think that is something that we should put under replay and get rid of the PI replay rules.
Boom, great stuff. Thank you. We'll talk to you after Bears Saints.
Okay, I look forward to it, guys.
Thanks, thank Boomer. Talk next Bye, week. Guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.